Well, good morning again to everyone. Thank you, Pastor Kalidas, for welcoming us back. And thank you for the four wonderful years of godly counsel, guidance, and preaching that you provided us, and friendship as well, you and your family. We miss you guys as well. We miss this church family. We miss the Kalidas family. We miss this area, truth be told. We don't miss the Empire State and the parts that go along with that. But it is a beautiful, beautiful part of the country.
Did you move out of here because of the weather?
Well, part of it was we didn't move back because of the weather, but we were considering settling here, but two things got in the way. One is the property tax, and the other is the snow. But we've God has put us down in a place in Kentucky. Nancy and I just a minute ago looked at each other and we realized today is the fourth year anniversary of my retirement from the Marine Corps. I was privileged and honored to be a United States Marine, and Marines, we always say once a Marine, always a Marine, so I guess I still am. I've got the Marine Corps emblem flag right here on my lapel, but September 30th, 2014 was my official retirement date. Wow. From the Marine Corps, and already 4 years ago. Is it not amazing how time is flying? You know, I look back to when I was in high school, and a long time was whatever sports season I seemed to be in, whether cross country, wrestling, track, whatever. That was a long time. But today, a long time is like a 10-year period in life, because a year just flies by, does it not? And all of a sudden, 4 years has flown by, and we know what we're speeding towards, don't we? We're speeding towards for those of us in here who are saved, who know Jesus Christ as our Savior. We're speeding towards the rapture, and it could happen any moment. All the pieces, and we'll talk a lot about this tonight. I won't spend a whole lot on it now, but all the pieces are in play. They're all fitting together, and Jesus Christ could come back in the clouds any moment and call us away, which is a good reason. If you're in here today and you're not saved, number one, you're in the right place, and it's something that has been put in your life so you could hear the message of salvation, which I'll give you this morning before we leave for the afternoon. But it's time to start thinking about that, because there's one thing, you know, when you're in the military, sometimes you're in some tough situations, and one of them for me was what's called Officer Candidate School, which is essentially boot camp for those who are officer candidates. And one thing I kept telling myself is the one thing they can never stop is the clock. The clock keeps ticking. No matter how miserable I was, the clock was still ticking. Well, guess what? The clock is ticking on all of our lives. All of our lives. And we don't know if Jesus Christ is coming today or tomorrow, but the other thing we don't know is if we're going to be alive today or tomorrow. Right? Yeah. Yesterday on the way down here, most of the family was asleep, but we had a vehicle come within about 6 inches of us on the road, and it was bigger than our van. And we would have been in trouble if he clipped us. We were going about 75 miles an hour. And God is in control. God's in control, and he knows the number of our days. We don't. So don't play with fire, literally. Don't play with fire, because hell is a hot place, and it's eternal. But you know what? The place that God has prepared for us is eternal as well. We just have to ask Jesus Christ to save us. So that gets us into our message today. And once again, I'm just happy to be here. Nancy, are you happy to be here?
Yes.
Yeah, the boys were mentioning as they were driving down, they were seeing things along the road. And Andrew's in that prime teenage years where you never quite know what he's thinking, whether he's happy or he's mad or he's just whatever. And I knew Andrew was happy this morning because about every 3 minutes he'd say something from his memory when he was younger and here. And that warmed my heart that Andrew was seeing things and recalling them with happiness. But we're living in a time, are we not, where things are incredibly upside down and backwards. And what I intend to speak to you about during the sermon this morning is change. And I'll be it'd be interesting maybe for you to know that the concepts that I am going to lay out here over the next 45 minutes or so were first introduced to me by the man sitting to my right. And he challenged me with some of the thoughts that and biblical ideals that we're going to go over here in the next few minutes for the first time. Because I was brainwashed by the world thinking that change is good. Well, the only change that's good is change towards God. And unfortunately, most change that happens in our lives in this world are towards the world. In fact, the world is changing continually, and it is changing towards its own detriment, its own damage, its own ultimate destruction. And most of us have no idea what's going on. No idea what's going on. So Psalm 102, 24 through 27 reads, I said, O my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. Thy years are throughout all generations. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. Let's go to the Lord, our Savior, our God, in prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for saving us, Lord. We thank you for dying on the cross to pay for our sins. All the sins that we've committed, that we are committing, Lord, and that we will commit, you have paid for, Lord, and we thank you for that. Lord, over the next period of time, Lord, that you have set, Lord, I ask you to help me to get it right, Lord. I ask you to sharpen my mind, to put me in tune with the Holy Spirit so I can say what needs to be said, so I can do it wisely, Lord, so it can be received correctly, Lord. Lord, hide me behind the cross, Lord, if there anything be out there, any thoughts, any action, any deed that would keep me from doing this, any sin that's been left uncovered before you, Lord, I give it all to you, Lord. And Lord, we praise your holy name. We love you. We need you, Lord. In Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. We have quite a circus going on in our nation's capital. And Pastor Kalidas, of course, is on top of all this stuff and always nails it exactly how it should be. And we are in a very, very dangerous time. It's not only dangerous because people are being put in situations that are dishonorable, that are not right, but it's because most people have no idea that it's wrong. Our culture today is blind of righteousness. And there's a lot of reasons why it's blind of righteousness. And the biggest reason is most of us have gone lukewarm. What do I mean by that? Yes. I mean that we're living in the end times, in the Laodicean period. If you don't know what I'm talking about, open your Bible to Revelations and start reading about the different periods of the church. We're in the period where the church is in neutral. It's sitting back and watching time go by. And as it goes by, guess who's at work? Yes, sir. The devil's at work. And he's corrupting people, he's corrupting souls, he's corrupting systems, he's corrupting families, he's corrupting state governments and federal governments, he's corrupting institutions within the federal government. Yeah, it is amazing to me, on one side, that we can have what's going on within the FBI and the CIA and the Department of Justice allowing complete debauchery in criminal activities based upon personal thought, personal beliefs. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm talking about this attack on our current president and making all sorts of allegations against him, and the opposite of actually everything they're saying is true. The people that have done the criminal activity, and this isn't political, this is common sense, folks. I don't need to say I'm Republican or Democrat. By the way, I'm neither. I'm a Christian conservative. Okay? And you don't find Christian conservatives hardly at all in the Republican mass today. Now, if you're Republican, okay, get in there and fix your party, but it's broken today. I don't mean to get political on you, but what's happened is it is people don't know what truth is anymore. We've changed what truth is, and we've allowed secular humanism to take over. Well, what is secular humanism? That's I am my own God. I don't need any sort of standard or foundation for my way of thinking or acting. That's what secular humanism is. I will decide. Well, the problem with that is that the secular humanist doesn't realize that he, from his foundation, from the beginning of his or her life, is a failure. They were born in what? They were born in sin. They were born to naturally get it wrong. See, the problem is that we think that the natural man gets it right. But we don't. If you haven't realized that yet, look in the mirror and think about what you have done over the last 24 hours. We see what's wrong, we want to do it, we know it's wrong, we decide to do it, and then we justify it. That's sin. That's our sin nature. Mankind cannot create his own utopia. Nancy, am I too loud?
No.
Mankind cannot create his own perfect world. And we are desperately trying to do it right now. And we have been for years and years. The men who founded our country knew exactly what basis to found it upon. And it was the Holy Scripture. And by the way, it was the King James Version back then. It wasn't the NIV or the I don't know or the cartoon version that came out last week. It was the King James Version of the Bible. And that was the foundation. And that is the reason that the most incredible, richest, strongest country in the history of mankind became the United States of America. Because of the way it was founded. And we are changing every aspect of that foundation as we speak. To the point, and I will be careful about the way that I say this, to the point where a man who has been nominated to the Supreme Court feels that he has to defend himself by going on Fox News and telling the world that he was a virgin until well after college. Whose business is that? And what kind of a weak man who's at that level of importance and responsibility has been neutered to the point where he feels he has to go out and answer these scoundrels by telling them something that only should be known by he and his wife. Period. I'll tell you what, in my deep opinion, Judge Kavanaugh does not need to be a Supreme Court justice because he didn't pass that test. I don't believe for a second. Now, it may come out that he messed around with when he was in high school and college that he shouldn't have? It wasn't girls. It was alcohol. Wine is a, somebody tell me.
Mocker.
It's a mocker, and look what it's doing to this man 36 years later.
Yes, sir.
They're using it against him, and to this day, he says, I like beer.
Yeah.
I enjoy beer.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of, how did that beer treat you now, Judge?
Yeah.
See, these things come back and bite us in the end.
Yes, sir.
Do they not?
Yes, sir. Good preacher, brother.
It's the Holy Spirit, folks. I didn't come. It's not in my notes right now.
Amen.
Okay? We have reason to be indignant with what's happening.
Amen.
The knights in the shining armor are sitting back allowing the armor to rust. And then when they're thrust out into the public eye, because we've been sitting on our derrieres, if you don't know what that means, it's your rear end. Because we've been sitting back, letting our skills rust, letting our connection with the Holy Ghost rust, letting ourselves go into neutral, we're not ready when we're thrown out in front of the wolves.
Yes, sir.
A warrior must practice. A warrior must train. For the day will come when God will give us a chance. An opportunity to get it right. And when we go out there and we fumble the ball, we've missed the opportunity. The weak people, the ungodly people who are preaching, and they are preaching to us via CNN and Fox News and all MSN, whatever. Those weak, ungodly people make us think that when the judge went up there and started crying in front of his accusers, that he was a strong man. Ladies and gentlemen, I have cried many times as a man, but not in front of my accusers. And by God's power and strength, I never will. I will not grovel in front of them. I will not crawl on my belly in front of them. And I will tell them what is righteous. And I will not tell them when I lost my virginity.
Amen.
This is what we have. Right now, we have a Supreme Court nominee who's supposed to be the best there out there, who is making mistake after mistake after mistake. Yet he's being held up in some circles as wonderfully strong. And on the other side of it, we have a pack of ravenous. What does the word ravenous mean? They don't give up. They want it all. They want it now. Ravenous wolves who are accusing him in some sort of a farcical circus. They're making things up. They're putting people up in front. This Dr. Ford person, who to me doesn't sound very believable, but they're all saying she is. You know what that's called? That's called brainwashing. We have to understand the times that we live in and how important it is for us to get it right, to be able to see truth, to be able to see through the clouds and the fog and the smoke screen, everything that's out there. Andrew and Samuel, when I get on you guys, it's because I want you to overcome the world today. Amen. The wolves are at the door, and they're not only at the door up in some committee in Washington, D.C. They're outside of our door. They're right outside there. There might be some in here.
Amen.
The wolves are about, and they're ravenous. It is time for them to be ravenous. Do you know why? Because we're at the time in our history when Satan knows that his final struggle is coming.
Amen.
He and his demons are out and about right now, causing havoc like never before. You see, Satan has a crazy idea. This idea is that he's going to overcome what God has said is going to happen, and he will be his own God on this earth. It's not going to happen, but he's still going to try. And what does he have to do in order to make that happen? He has to corrupt everything. And he's doing it right now, and he's very successful because we are the knights in the shining armor whose armor is getting rusty because we're sitting back watching it happen. We are letting time pass. We are letting people walk by. We are not saying what needs to be said. There are fanatical people in the halls of Washington, D.C., waiting for a weak senator to walk out into the hallway so they can berate and attack him. Where are the Christians? Where are we? Silence. If they have the strength to do it, and they don't have the creator of the universe, then where are the people who do have him? We are Laodiceans. Just like we cannot forget that we were born in sin, and if we allow it, sin will overcome and take away every good thing that we have. We cannot forget what church period we have been born into. And we're part of it. We aren't better just because we've got the King James Version. We aren't better from a certain perspective just because we go to Grace Baptist Church or because we go to an independent Baptist church, Old Paths down in Russellville, Kentucky. We have to take action to show that we're better, that we have it right. Isn't it nice to come to church every Sunday, and maybe you make it Sunday evening, and maybe we make it Wednesday night? Isn't it nice to do that?
Amen.
Amazing, is it not? But when we're not doing it the rest of the week, when we're not out there fighting for the battle that has been put before us, we are ultimately failing. And thus we see a country today that is changing everything. Is our God changing? He doesn't change, does he? He is the same. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He doesn't change. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and not just tomorrow, forever.
Amen.
He doesn't change his opinions. He doesn't change his standards. He doesn't change his doctrine. But if we just took a little field trip on a Sunday and maybe for a month and went to some different churches in town here, we would be amazed at who's preaching, at what's being preached, and what the people are doing in their worship, which is not worship. The United Methodist Church today has homosexual women leading from the pulpit. Is it no wonder that we can't tell the difference between truth and a lie when it's put out in front of us in some Senate hearing over the Supreme Court? The problem is when you spend your time with people that don't get it right, you start getting it wrong. Because we're weak, folks. We are weak. That's why it's so important for you to get in here as much as you can and get recharged with the truth.
Amen.
That's why it's so important to read our Bibles.
Amen.
That's why it's so important to listen to the right programs only.
Amen.
On the radio. That's why it's so important not to listen to the poison of the world.
Amen.
I learned about the term Hellavision and Hollywood in this church.
Amen.
I knew it was poison. At that point, it wasn't even our house. Nancy and I have been married 16 years now. Television is not in our home.
Amen.
We're not perfect, by the way. We do get some movies every once in a while on YouTube. We need to work on some of that. But we shouldn't be listening to television, and we shouldn't be listening to Hollywood. We should be doing what the knights in shining armor have done in the past to be prepared, to be ready. Malachi 3:6 says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." So if God tells us in the Bible that women should not hold a leadership position over men in a church, why does the Methodist Church have women as pastors? Because they have lost focus of God's word. And they're using an inadequate and false and fake Bible. It brings confusion. It brings compromise. We cannot compromise. We cannot become complacent, especially now. I would like to tell you that all of my children are saved, but they're not yet. Some of them are just getting to the age where they're probably going to, if not already, become responsible to God for asking for salvation. If I get it wrong, I'm going to be held accountable someday because that will probably impact their ability to look at an all-powerful, all-loving God and ask for salvation. This will never happen. But if Nancy and I were to get divorced, it will never happen. No matter what happens between us, no matter what sin might creep its ugly face into our lives together, I will never, ever, ever divorce my wife. Why? Because God tells me I cannot. He will never divorce me despite the long list of my failures. So why is it that the Christian divorce rate is over 50% today? Because they don't believe in God. They don't follow God anymore. Revelation 1:8 says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Folks, we have to realize in our lives that we have God above us, who is the Almighty. This is all under His control and His power. And He will allow us and has tasked us with doing His will. And because we're not today, we're losing our country. We're losing our families. Pastor, a few minutes ago, mentioned the word socialism. Every time I come here, I mention it now, because it is a poison pill for societies. It is a self-destructing governmental system that takes away God. And what socialism actually is communism. It's communism. The communists have killed hundreds of millions of people over the last century. And when it finally comes to be the ruling system over the one world government, communism, yes, I said it, communism will be the system of the Antichrist. He will sit upon a communist-type dictatorship, and everyone will be a servant of him and will have to do exactly what they're told within that communist system. And guess how many people will be killed? Billions. Billions. These people who are making a charade out of the system of appointing a Supreme Court justice are nothing less than socialist / communists. They want to take the control away from the people, the freedom away from the people, then the individual person. Our country was founded to protect the rights of the individual person. There's no such thing as justice within this ideal of social justice. See, when we all get together and decide we have to do what's best for the whole, the individuals lose their rights. We must protect our individual rights. If you don't understand what I'm saying, you need to find out. If you disagree with what I'm saying, you need to ask God to help you figure it out. There has been an incredible brainwashing campaign for over 100 years in our country to get people to fall like sheep into a corral of communism. The only thing that follows is death. Boys, I'm happy right now. You're really not. And you won't be. And you won't be. Freedom is one of the most incredible aspects of life when you have it. And ladies and gentlemen, I have been all over the world. Something like 64 different countries. And most of them were not places that I would like to go back to. I have seen communism. I was fortunate as a 17-year-old boy to visit the Soviet Union. And I saw what those people had. Do you know what the average American or the average communist person had in Soviet Russia? They had a bottle of vodka to keep them happy. I was invited into a house for a meeting with a family in the middle of an afternoon. They had no electricity. Why? Because they couldn't afford it, and the government couldn't produce it. That's communism. Go down to Venezuela. Check that out. That's the latest example. Coming to a country near us if we don't get out of the corner and try to figure this out. Can I go a couple more minutes?
As long as you want.
Folks, we're changing the truth of God in almost every area of our lives. We don't have to look far. Let's look at something simple. Let's look at tattoos. Had a student, I teach at high school, ROTC at high school now. One of the cadets came in the other day. He says, "Hey, sir, it's time." "Myron, what's it time for?" "It's time for me to get my tattoo." "Whoa, wait a second, Myron. Myron is saved. He told me right down the line what it is to be saved and that he's saved. But he doesn't know that God tells us not to have a tattoo. Leviticus 19:28 says, ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. God says, don't get a tattoo. Myron wants to get a tattoo.
Yes, sir.
Why does he want to get a tattoo? Myron is a Pacific Islander and comes from a particular tribe on an island. And when he reaches a certain age, it's time for them to get their manhood tattoo. I said, "Myron, I don't even have to ask for this because I know exactly what the tattoo is going to look like." I said, there's going to be demons on there, and there will be pagan symbology on there. I said, "You're a saved young man, and God tells us not to do this. But yet he's going to get a tattoo. He's going to put a marking on his body that belongs to not our Savior, but the enemy, the liar, Satan." Don't judge Myron, because they're coming out all over the place.
Yes, sir.
The more places you go out in the public today, and many of you may have tattoos yourself, and you're probably, if you're saved and the Holy Spirit's working in your life, you're probably sorry about it now.
Yes,
don't waste your money, folks. Go to a tattoo parlor and look at what's on the wall. But it's acceptable now because we're changing our ways.
Yes,
we're getting better as a human. We're all understanding now, right? You know what we're understanding of? We're understanding and forgiving of our depravity.
Yes, sir.
It will not stand before a righteous and holy God.
Amen.
And eventually it will take us into the pit.
Yes.
And that pit of hell will only be starting when hell comes to earth in the 7 years of tribulation. And when the hell of warfare comes to our country.
Good preaching.
2 Timothy 4:1-4 reads, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Did anyone watch the Kavanaugh questioning? Was it Thursday? I think it was Thursday. If you watched it, did you realize when he was giving a strong answer how quickly he would be interrupted and redirected by a senator who was asking him, in many times, an inappropriate or ridiculous question? Do you know why? Because those who don't live by the truth cannot and will not endure the truth. We have to accept the truth about ourselves, about what we have done, about the God in heaven, and what his standards are for us. And if we do not, we are not only failing ourselves, we're failing our families, our communities, and our nation. For the time will come, and folks, I think it is now, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but have their own lusts. One of the senators who was trying to make it look like and trying to prove before the public of the United States that this man Kavanaugh is some sort of a sexual deviant, he has written his own book and admitted to doing deviant things with young, underage girls. If you wonder who that is, his first name starts with a C, his last name starts with a B. He's written a book about his activities. Yet he is high and mighty. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. God says that in the times that I think we're living in, people will seek those that will let them get away.
Yes, sir.
And not only that,
yes, sir.
Justify
yes, sir.
Their sin.
Good preaching.
If you come into this church and the pastor has stopped telling you that you're a sinner, go find a better
Amen.
Church.
Amen.
And it won't happen here, by the way. Not as long as this man is sitting here and his wife is backing him up, helping him. It won't happen. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth,
yes, sir.
And shall be turned unto fables.
Yes, sir.
We have a fable happening right now
yes,
in Washington, D.C.
Yes, sir, brother.
And by the way, the Republican side hasn't been all righteous either.
Yes, sir.
They have been weak.
Yes, sir.
Weak.
Yes, sir.
They're the weaker side of the pack of
yes,
wolves.
Sir. Yep. Yes, sir.
Destroying our country right from underneath our feet.
Amen.
And we're sitting on a chair with our feet up. Genesis 1:27 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Folks, if you're in here today and you're confused as to whether or not you're a male or female, it's not that hard to figure out. If you're confused as to whether or not you should stay male or female, ask God. Look at his word. Because he created you the way that he created you for his purposes, which are greater than ours. For his glory, which is ultimately amazing and incredible. For his works. If you're confused about these things, it's because the enemy has tricked you. But today, anything goes. It is incredible how fast it has happened.
Yes, sir.
But the truth is, the clock's ticking, and not anything goes.
Amen.
Because our Father in heaven is ultimately righteous and cannot stand for sin.
Yes, sir.
We talked about debt this morning. Psalm 37:21 says, the wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. There's nothing wrong with debt today in our society. The government pays it right back, right? The government will take care of all of it. Don't worry about it. You know what? When you get into that trap, that snare, you have become a slave to the government. And your soul is rotting from the inside out because you have lost your freedom. When you're a slave to whatever debt organization that you might be a slave to, you have lost your freedom.
Yes, sir.
You, with God's help, can get it back.
Amen.
The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender.
Yes, sir.
We could go on and on, could we not?
Yes.
We could go on and on with the ways that our culture is changing. And it's changing always away from God. God will only put up with it for so long.
That's exactly right.
In our individual lives,
yes,
well, I'm a Christian. I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. I can play around just a little bit with this. Oh, I'm getting away with it. Maybe God doesn't mind. You hear the devil in that?
Yes, sir.
He does mind. And maybe the only reason that you haven't been crushed for it yet is because he does love you. He loves your family. He loves the people that you have impact on. But eventually, he has to stop it.
Yes,
in our families, we have to worship the Lord. We have to say what truth is. In our communities, we have responsibilities to preach God's word and to be ready to do it. We have to get off the bench and out on the floor. Get out into the field and talk, preach, teach about God and show his love to people while upholding his standards. Did you realize that it took the homosexual community about 20 years to get homosexual marriage born into our country? It's about 20 years it took. Phantasmally fast. Do you realize how quickly the enemy of our souls can turn things in this country to make us the enemies of the nation? It's happening right now. Some things I have said even today could be called to question by our government. I bear our government no ill will. I will never do anything illegal in relation to our government. I served our government as a Marine for 22 years, and I serve it now working as a military-like individual in a public school. But I serve God above and before. And there's nothing the United States government can do to keep me from preaching these words. And I am protected not only by God, but by the United States Constitution that gives me the freedom of speech. You see, God has put my armor on me. I have not built it. He has put it on me. It's my choice as to whether or not I employ it correctly. Folks, if you're in here today and you're saved, you've got armor. Amen. Have you put it on lately? Have you polished it up? Have you sharpened the sword? Too many American Christians are not. And the enemy's taken over. But we're not done yet. Our Lord is in charge. We still have our freedoms. The Constitution still stands. There are still many, many good people in our country who know God. And don't forget that we have to tell them about Christ. Because ultimately, we're not going to get it right without him. Pastor, I've enjoyed this time, and both the Sunday school lesson and this last hour. And I look forward to being with all of you again this evening. God bless you.
Let's all stand, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, dear God, for the words that we heard this morning and the delivery of those words and the man who brought those words. Just a vessel, but of a vessel willingly being used of thee. Dear God, help us to be listening, receptive vessels of the message that we just heard. Help us not to quench the Holy Spirit. Help us to be alarmed, to awaken to the call while the clock is ticking. Thank you for Brother Larson. Thank you, Lord, that you never changed. I thank you, dear God, that the Word of God never changes. Help us to stay as close as we can to thee, so that if we change, we'll be changed closer to thee and thy Word. Bless, I pray, if there's anybody in this room that's not saved today, they've never asked Jesus Christ to be their Savior, I pray, dear God, that today, before they take their next breath, before they walk down these aisles, before they walk outside these doors, that they will humbly confess that they're a sinner deserving hell and trust you as their Savior. I pray, dear God, if there's anybody in this room that's saved but they've never been baptized in a Baptist church, I pray they come forward and get baptized this morning. And dear God, whatever else the needs may be, may you meet them, please. Lift burdens, heal broken hearts, strengthen the warriors, call volunteers. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.